The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Hey, all you Steve Noble listeners, this is not Steve Noble. This is his equally obnoxious friend, Chris Connell. And I'm here today with two fantastic people. It's a beautiful Friday here in Raleigh, North Carolina. I serve at a church called Cross Assembly here in the Raleigh area. And shout out to my lead pastor, Chad Harvey. And got to know Steve, back 2006. And we did the Greg Laurie Harvest Crusade together. And I was so excited when I met Steve because I'm like, oh, God, there's people like me on the planet that are, you know, are just as obnoxious as I am. So and Steve is away visiting family today. But I am so excited about our guest today. And we're going to introduce the subject with this. In light of everything going on in this world, there's this question that went through my mind in regard to our guest. And that is God still in control when life seems out of control? Is God in control when you feel like everything is completely out of control? And I serve at a fantastic church, and Jason and Christina Bonilla serve at that church voluntarily. And we have a thing we do called Cafe 242 on Wednesday nights, and it's basically based on Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And it's basically a teaching time, and we sit down at tables, and there's a table leader, and you guys were, I think, my coach. So first off, say hello to the Steve Noble Show listeners, Jason and Christina.
Hey, everybody. How you doing today?
Hey, God bless you. How are you?
Yes, and they are bilingual, so say hello in Spanish to all of Steve's Spanish listeners, which I don't know if he has any or not, but just in case.
Dios te bendiga. Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Everything she just said.
Okay, so only one of you is bilingual?
Only one. Only one.
How can you look as you know,
Spanish?
Yeah, yeah, Latin lover as you do. It's one of the hottest guys I've ever been around anyway. So, Jason and Christina, you guys are like, we're like my coach for our coach or directors
director,
for my,
yeah.
As I was leading a table, mm-hmm. And then I gave the table to somebody else and blah, blah, blah. And one night, yeah. Christina said something to me. I don't remember what it was. Mm-hmm. And she goes, oh, you don't know my story. And mm-hmm. I was like, no, what are you talking about? And she told me a little bit of that story. And ever since then, I was like, if I ever get when next time I get to do the Steve Noble Show, mm-hmm. These two are on my list as potential guests because as difficult as a subject as this may be to talk about, right? Mm-hmm. The reality is that people need to hear how God brings us through seasons when life seems out of control.
Absolutely.
And even those who are committed followers of Christ go through very difficult times. So first, mm-hmm. Let me ask a couple of questions.
Sure.
I know you guys have four children. I looked this up, so I don't have it memorized.
You're
and
good.
I'm not sure. Ezekiel, Isaiah, Ezra, Bella. Did
Ezra
I say
Bella.
That right?
Yes,
and
she did.
Is it Aaliyah?
Aaliyah.
I was going to go with Aaliyah. All right. And Aaliyah is only, what, 8 months old? Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes.
And she is so cute. So anyway, I was hoping you're bringing her today, actually. And so Ezekiel is 14. Is that
yes.
right?
Yeah,
and then you've got Isaiah is 9. Ezra, Bella is 6. And then
Aaliyah
is eight months mm-hmm. old. And is she spoiled as the youngest?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. She is.
All right. And you two.
The girls in general are very spoiled. The girls in general. The boys get a little bit of short end of the stick, but the girls in general get spoiled.
10-4. All right. So you two have been married how long?
3 years and been dating for 4.
All right. 3 years, been dating for 4. So you've mm-hmm. been around each other for 7 years. Is that what I hear? Is that
dating? No. That's total.
That's
3 years.
Total.
Okay. I got it. So the 4 is Elan. You were just being
total.
Romantically speaking.
Yes.
Still dating.
Yeah.
Good for
running.
You. I have to remember that line.
Yeah.
As soon as I say that, people and listeners are like, well, wait a second. All right, so they got kids longer than they've been together and those kind of things. We're going to share that story here in a moment. But mm-hmm. are you both from Miami, Florida, or from Florida? Because I feel like you are out of Florida. Or are you from North Carolina originally?
No. We're both originally from New York. I was born and raised in New York longer. I moved to Florida.
Long Island?
The Bronx.
Yeah. The best part of
That's
the
right.
city.
It really is. It is.
No one can tell me any different.
From New York. And people live in New York City, they all dislike Staten Island. It's like all the boroughs, and then Staten Island has this... horrible. I don't know what it is about Staten Island.
It's like one of those in the back end.
Yeah. Well, I'm from upstate originally, like Syracuse area, and my wife's from Rochester, but that's a different world.
It is.
Basically, the upstate pays for the taxes for the city. That's pretty much what we do. But anyway, but did you guys meet in New York?
No.
We met in Florida. So we moved from New York to Florida, that's where we met.
What part of Florida?
Kissimmee, Florida.
So right the heart of Disney World there, right?
My wife and I met
in Lakeland, Florida, going to school at Southeastern, which is just down the road, okay?
His nephew goes there.
All right. So what caught me by surprise when I caught Christina that one night at our Wednesday night was she said something about the fact that this is her second marriage, right?
But it
was a story of, first off, how you two met, but also what happened with you. So if I remember briefly, you and your first husband were pastoring or starting to pastor a church.
We were pastoring a church in Kissimmee, Florida. We had church planted with the Spanish Assemblies of God.
Take me back. How many years ago are we talking now?
Sure. So I want to say the church plant started around 2014.
Okay.
It's a few years ago, almost 7 years ago, where we started church planting.
All right. Mm-hmm. And you had three kids.
Well, at the time we had two, but Ezrabella was born after our church plant. So together we had three kids together.
Mm-hmm. All right. And you said something, and we're just about to go to the break, because we've got about a minute here.
Sure.
You said something happened. Was it near when the church was launching or something to that effect?
So it was right after the church launched, and we were going into a 40-day fast because we wanted our own church property.
Okay.
Yeah, we wanted our own land because we were leasing at the time.
Okay.
So that's when, in 2017, the accident occurred.
So when you say near to when the church started, you're talking within a few days or a few months or years?
No. The church had been already established for 2 years.
Okay.
And we were growing exponentially, and we wanted to purchase our own property at that point.
All right. And when we come back from break, we're going to talk about this. But basically, there was an accident.
Yep.
And it took the life of your first husband.
It did.
And and changed the course of your life.
It did.
Significantly.
Yeah.
And that's just amazing. So when we come back, wrestling with the question, is God still in control when life seems out of control? Our awesome, good-looking guests, Jason and Christina Bonilla, are here. You don't want to miss their story, because it's going to blow your mind what God can do even when life seems out of control. Stay tuned. Thanks for listening to the Steve Noble. Welcome back. This is the Steve Noble Show. It's a Friday. It's great to have you with us. Steve's out of town with family. This is Chris Connell filling in today for him. And we're talking today about the question, is God still in control when life seems out of control? And my amazing guests are Jason Christina Bonilla. I've been married three years, dated for four, but that includes a three and a half. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, in total, that's
some real fuzzy math there, Jason. All right. You got four kids. You got Ezekiel, Isaiah, Ezrabella, and Alea. Did I do it right that time?
Yes,
good.
You did.
Yep. And the reason why I want to have you guys on the show is because God brought you through something, Christina, and brought you two together, and Jason. And so do you mind if we go back to the accident, and you and your husband had started a church in Kissimmee, Florida? Mm-hmm. The church was doing well. You were about to enter a season of fasting and prayer so you could get a building. I'm assuming you were leasing it at that point or something like that.
We were.
All right. So we'll tell Steve's listeners what happened.
Sure. So back in 2017, the church was actually in a 40-day fast. So we were just believing God for big things, and we knew that there was something that was coming, right? And we just didn't know what it was, but our hearts were in purchasing our own property, and my late husband just really felt like this is just the time to fast. So it's amazing when you go into fasting and prayer and where the church was at that moment. We were 1 week away. It was almost Easter. We were 1 week away from finishing our fast. And that day, my late husband, he went in one car. I went in another car. And we had service. And coming back from lunch, he looked extremely exhausted. But again, we were in two separate cars. I had to get home with the kids. We had family come in from town.
And you had three kids?
I had three kids at the time. Mm-hmm. Had family coming in from town to come by the house. So I went ahead, and he just wanted to stop for coffee because he was really tired. Ministered two services. It was just a long day for
Man, after my own heart, I always stop for coffee.
So it was Sunday afternoon. I made it home. I was, at the time, Ezra Bella was only two. She had just turned two, so she was still pretty little. And I was getting the house prepared, and the boys were outside playing. And I remember the hours just were going by, and he never came back home. And I would call, and I thought he was always a people person and pretty sociable. Maybe he stopped to go visit someone, or maybe he's at our family vacation home with his aunt, and that's where he's at. Great, gives him more time to get the house ready. And right. An hour turned into three, turned into four, and by that point I said, you know, I'm getting a little worried. I called the family. He wasn't there. And I was ready to grab my keys and go figure out where that was going. And when I started to walk towards the door, the sheriff's office actually pulled into the driveway. And a part of me was like, oh, man, they missed the neighbor's house. It must be the neighbor, not me. Like, why is there a sheriff pulling up? And when they were actually coming up my driveway, I went outside, and the one thing that they asked is, you know, are you so-and-so? Are you Christina Mendez at the time? And I said, yes, I am. Do you know Antonio Mendez? And I said, I do. Like, what's the situation? And they were like, ma'am, I just want to tell you your husband's dead. And just like that. That was exactly the words that they used. And I said, I am so sorry. What did you just say? And it was as blunt and as cold as those words could ever be. And I said, that's absolutely impossible. There's no way that could be the case. And I asked for proof. I said, how do you know? And they were like, ma'am, we have his license. We have everything here. And in that moment, you just felt your life go through a movie of 30 seconds of, okay, this can't be happening. It didn't happen to me. It can't happen to my children. Who is going to walk my daughter down the aisle? Who is going to be a father to the boys? Who's going to teach them how to play ball? Like, all of those things rushed through my mind in 30 seconds. And the church, like, then what's going to happen with the church? Like, all these things in 30 seconds literally went through my mind. And there were phone calls that I immediately had to make. And I can still remember, that was back in 2017. It's 2022. And I can still remember every single one of those phone calls that I made, as well as every single emotion and reaction from those phone calls up until today. It's very, very, very difficult. I can remember calling for the boys to come home, and then, you know, taking a step back and saying, how do I even tell my children what occurred? Ezra Bella was very small. She was only two. So that conversation was not a huge concern for me, but Ezekiel and Isaiah definitely were, because they were really close to their dad. That was their best friend. And that was just an unbearable moment that Sunday afternoon on April 2nd. Hmm. Absolutely unbearable. I had to get leaders together. I had to contact just our district leaders as well. And the second biggest decision that I had to make the next day is, now what do you do with your church? Like, okay, you're going to have to tell the kids later on what happened to their dad and why their dad is not home. But then what do you do with your church? What do you do with you? Like, what now? What's next? And people were flying in from, you know, New York and different parts. Like, my sister lives in North Carolina, so she had to fly in from North Carolina to Florida. And I remember tons of questions and tons of things that happened on a Sunday, right? And I wasn't able to do anything, not even see his body until Tuesday. And I remember that Sunday night, I had the whole church in my, it seemed like the whole church was in my house. And I remember we just prayed and said, you know, Lord, whatever you need to do, if you can raise the dead, I need you to do that right now. Like, to be super honest and transparent, like, I need you to do that. I believe in miracle signs and wonders. And we were just praying for a miracle. We were praying for, you know, God to do what he needed to do. And you know, the next day family came in and there was decisions we needed to make with the church. And then the next day I had to identify the body. And at that point, I knew that heaven was better than earth, right? And I knew that that was where he needed to be. And there was conversations that I had to have with my kids, and telling the kids, hey, you know, daddy's not coming home was quite challenging and difficult.
Well, the story is amazing. Thank you for being willing.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We're here with Jason and Christina Bonilla. Is God still in control when life seems out of control is the question. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss the next part. We'll be right back. Ought and how God brings us through. Well, you are listening to the incredible Steve Noble Show. And this is his guest host, Chris Connell, in today. And the question we're asking is this, is God still in control when life seems out of control? And for time's sake, I'm going to jump right back in the story. And if you're wondering, well, what's the context? You need to just go back to the Facebook page and listen to it. My awesome guests, pardon me, are Jason and Christina Bonilla. It's so good to have you here. Thank you for coming.
Thank Absolutely. You for having us.
And so, and just a quick recap, you two have been married 3.5 years.
3 years.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. And you got 4 children. Mm-hmm. And for Christina, this is a second marriage. Your first husband, mm-hmm. your son, passed away from a car accident, is mm-hmm. my understanding. Mm-hmm. And you and him were pastoring a church down in Kissimmee, Florida.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it was obviously, as anything like that, unexpected. And, mm-hmm. you know, I got to know Steve when I was working with Steve Noble and Greg Laurie. I got to know Greg Laurie's son a little bit, Christopher Laurie, and he got in a car accident probably about within months of us doing the crusade here. And and Greg talks about that day when they mm-hmm. came to his house mm-hmm. and how it just, you know, changed his world. And he talks about how heaven is more real. So yeah. So you have talked about this, and you said something just off the break, Jason, that this moment happened. Mm-hmm. How many years ago now exactly? Are we?
5 years ago.
5 years ago.
Five. Yeah.
But you're still living through that, right?
Absolutely.
Through the long suffering of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're now in charge of a church, Christina? Is that? I mean, you were already in leadership there anyway, but is it?
Yeah.
What happened to the church? Because sure. you were in. Going to go into 40 days of fasting to ask the Lord to provide a property you could own versus leasing.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to the church at that point? Mm-hmm. And what happened to your kids? How did they yeah. walk through that season?
So when we had to tell the kids that their father was no longer on earth and was in heaven, the first thing that my oldest said, it was, Mom, who's going to pastor the church now? Hmm. That was the first thing that came out of his mouth. And, you know,
and that's Ezekiel, who's now 14.
He's
so
now
he would
14.
Have been 9 years old at that point?
He was 10.
10,
at that
okay.
point. He had just turned 10, and he's actually turning 15 in a few days. So the question was a valid question, right? And I had to pray about that. And I did have amazing guidance from my late husband's mother, who also pastored in New York. And a lot of the district leaders had come by. And there was an immense amount of support. And I knew, you know, I prayed and I knew that I couldn't just leave the church as is, right?
Right.
Just with an unknown pastor,
right.
With an
okay.
unknown, right. And just walking away.
Particularly
and,
planning a church. I mean, there's
and
so
we
much.
Plant it.
There's so
yes.
much DNA that's there from
Absolutely.
That, you know, kind of a thing.
And all the leaders knew us. I was an associate pastor within the church, so my husband and I really were the forefront of ministry. We were active and. And we absolutely love and still love the congregation out there. The church is still thriving, so
Good
we're
to hear.
Excited about that. But I knew that I had to just step up as lead pastor. So within days, the transition occurred. I began to step into that role, took a week off, mourned, did what I had to do, and preached on Easter.
You took a week off.
I took a week off.
And then you preached.
And I preached the hardest and
wow.
And life lesson learning opportunities right there. But I did. I had to preach a sermon. I had to still get a missions group ready because we were going out to the mission field in May. And there was just so much. There was so much there that I needed to work through. And as a busy bee as I was, and I just I knew God was doing something. We were ending our 40-day fast. I knew that He had prepared us for a time just as that, right? And nobody understood. Nobody knew. They all
yeah.
knew something big was happening, but nobody thought the big was that our lead pastor would be, you know. Sent to heaven, right?
Right.
That he would make it. Like he won. He fought the good fight, and he won that race, and he
Amen.
Made it to heaven. Yeah. Nobody thought that that's where his transition moment would be, but that is where God was taking us to a place where we can just truly lean on Him and depend on Him and see Him above anything else. It's not about man. It's not
right.
about woman. But it was about God at
now,
that moment.
What about? And I'm going to ask some hard questions, so my apologies
yeah.
in advance.
Fine.
But
no,
what
fine.
About moments? Were there moments when you said, or people around you said, okay, where is God in this? Were there any moments like that for you? Or were you just so busy with everything you had to be responsible for, you didn't have time for those kind of questions?
No, I did have those moments. And I was so... I did have moments of stopping and really having to deal. So the one thing that I did do was made sure that I did go into counseling right away. And I did Christian counseling. I am so grateful for
that. Smart, a wise move.
Absolutely. With an amazing, amazing counselor that I love to pieces. And she helped me deal with those hard questions. Was there ever a moment that I said, God, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. But there wasn't a moment, honestly, that I said, how could you? Why did you even think of doing this to me? I never did that because I remember the week before. No, it was either the Sunday before or that Sunday morning because it was a little foggy. I was worshiping. I had led worship that morning at the church. And the one thing that I said was, Lord, you can take everything away from me, but I will never stop worshiping. And those words had to be evident, right? I walked out those words a week later. I felt like everything was taken. My husband was taken. My identity was taken in the sense of now who are you? Like who are you without him? Are you a widower? Like who is Christina now? And all those things I questioned. How do I raise my children? I'm not a father. What do I do for this, that, and the other? And I said, Lord, if I made that statement on the altar, and I truly meant it with all my heart, like, Lord, you can take everything from me, but I will never stop worshiping you. I will never stop loving you. That is exactly what I did when it was the darkest, when it was the hardest, when I said, okay, Lord, I don't understand the why, but I won't stop worshiping you through this season. I can't. You're the author and the finisher of my faith. And I even said, I said, Lord, if you allowed this, I need you to be everything that he was for me and then everything my kids need for me. Wow. So I need you to be the Jehovah Ishi. I need you to be the healer, the Rapha, the provider. I can't allow these children to see anything but your faithfulness. Mm-hmm. And if I proclaim to follow a faithful God, and if I proclaim to follow a loving God, then I have to exercise that faith.
Even while I walked through the valley of the shadow, right?
That's right. And I did. And those were the conversations I had with God. I was like, okay, Jesus, you know my situation.
Yeah.
And if you allowed this, for whatever reason, I am not one to go against your will, then I need you to see me through every single season. And Chris, he saw me through every single season.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And still seeing me through it, because it's still process. It's still healing.
All right. So you two met at a gym in the Kissimmee area, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, Christina, you were probably not out husband shopping. I have a feeling you were probably like, I'm done. I've got too much.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I had tons on my plate. Yeah.
You said, Jason, that you knew her and you knew her story a little bit.
Yes, I knew. I actually knew her, her late husband. I did. I was actually his trainer as well.
Wow.
I was actually worked more with him in his journey. And I actually went to the church, and when he had like a men's retreat, like I went there, knew the guy, amazing individual, you know. Again, didn't really know Christina though,
right?
At all. I only met her once, and that was literally like a high by even before that, while he was still.
So let me jump in to ask this. So, okay, what was the moment? There's just not enough time for this whole story. It's killing me. What was the moment the two of you went, uh-oh, there's something happening here, and this wasn't what we were looking for, but oh, okay, God. Because there must have been a moment.
It was. We always joke around with it, in a sense.
Was it the goatee, Christina? Was it that?
No, it was.
The hair is fabulous.
It is.
We were just talking, like I said, at one point when we was off down. We were talking like almost every day. We were talking almost every day, and then she came. Actually, she was bold enough, and she said, "What is this? Like, what is going on? Like,
how I don't have time to play games."
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's true.
And in my mind, though, I was, in a sense, like, this is funny because I, in a sense, friend zoned her. Because she goes, am I a friend? Am I your pastor? Like, or, like this? Like, what is it? And I said, friend.
Yeah.
And she was just like, oh, okay. And then we continued talking.
Shot to the heart. Y'all to blame. And we Jason, you give love a bad name.
And then we went, and then she came up with the question again, and then. It was just one of those, just like, it clicked on me. I was like, maybe this is something wrong.
All right, our guests are Jason and Christina Bonilla. Is God still in control when life is out of control? Absolutely, he is. Do not miss the last segment. Thank you guys so much for being here. Wow. It's an amazing story. Listening to Jason and Christina Bonilla. Is God still in control when life seems out of control? Well, he definitely is. Mm-hmm. And if you've been listening, Christina, you and Jason and Christina, I should say, you guys have been married 3.5 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you went to Christina and her husband's church, right?
No, I visited.
You visited.
I had my own church that I was actually planted in.
Got it.
I went to their church because you have like men's routine and my church wasn't doing that just yet. And
so you show up for some different events and things like that. All
and
right.
That's how I did it.
And so what happens is, Christina, the Lord allows your husband to go to heaven, car accident. You're now leading a church.
Yep.
You show up at the gym where this guy works and you've got 3 kids. And then you approach him at one point through all this and say, what is this? And then he friend zones you at that point.
Yes, he does.
Wow. Well played, Jason.
Gotta play hard again. Well played.
Wow. Okay.
It still works, people. It still works.
And And then obviously you guys did get married. You yes. have yes. you have a you have another child, 8 month old, Aaliyah, yes. beautiful Aaliyah. Little girl. Mm-hmm. Did I say it right or did I mess it up? Aaliyah.
Aaliyah. Like Princess Leia.
Ah, got it. I'm so mm-hmm. sorry. And you know the kids they lose their dad, but now they have a dad in this sense here on this planet in the home. You mentioned something over the break, Jason, that when you guys got married, one of the kids would actually ask you when her dad was coming home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, she would, especially during when I was there in the beginning. She still was coping with the aspect of dad's not being home. And I didn't, and especially when I got married with Christina, it wasn't like, okay, now you call me dad.
Right.
It was just like, call me Jason.
Right.
Whenever you feel comfortable.
Right.
It's up to you. Right. If you never want to call me, that's fine. You know?
And where are the kids at now with all of this? Because you said something before the break I thought was pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I think
right now, and it's funny because I talked about this with my oldest a few weeks ago. They said, Mom, I wouldn't change anything. I wouldn't have changed how anything played out. I love my dad in heaven. I miss my dad. But I would have never had the opportunity to meet Jason, and I would have never had the opportunity just to be a son to him and him a dad to me. And God does everything right, and I'm okay with everything.
Wow.
And that just brought tears to me.
I didn't
like, wow, Lord.
That.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
I didn't know
That's
that.
Powerful. So at what point are you guys going to write a book?
So I am working on a book. Mm-hmm. It's called Mended. Where I share my story in depth because there's so many more layers to that story than meets the eye and just how the enemy wanted to attack even my children through the whole process. And yet God was still faithful.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. So how soon is this book coming out?
I would love to publish it by the end of this year.
All right.
That's my goal.
I'll be glad to write a plug for it, but it won't do you any good. You know, one of the things that happens in life is that even though we know in the Bible, as far as the Christ, we know that there is suffering there, right?
I mean, absolutely.
The early church leaders there's just so much suffering, but.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think at times we wrestle or people wrestle through, well, if God's good, right? You know, how can we let these things happen, those kind of things. And for Steve's listeners, I'm sure there's some folks that are going through or have gone through something that like what you went through, Christina, and you two came through afterwards together, right? Mm-hmm. Walking it out.
Yeah.
That it's like kind of getting hit by a brick from nowhere. You're just like, where did that come from?
Yep.
Wow, life feels out of control. What do you say to folks like that? What do you say to listeners that are just like, okay, I am in something right now that I just don't think I'm going to make it through? Because, you know, when you get that overwhelmed, right, you know, or I don't know, why did God let this happen and those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if people ask you that question, but what do you say?
No, I get the question a lot. You know, the Bible verse that stays in my mind always is just being still. Be still and know that I am God. And in that stillness, there's just the opportunity to really know who God is, right? You can always say, oh, I know this person, but do you really know their heart? Do you really know who they are? Do you really know their character? And that was just an opportunity for me to hear the voice of God. That was an opportunity for me to worship in my tears and in my snot and just be okay in that moment to say, Lord, I need you to heal me. I need you to come to my rescue. I need you to be the God that you proclaim in Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus. I need you to be the God that you proclaim in Matthew and Mark. Like all these different facets of who you are, I need to see that evident in my life. And you know, my advice is remain faithful because in the unknown is when he becomes known. In the unknown is when you get to understand just your relationship deepen with Christ. And then you can take a step back. I'm telling you, you can take a step back weeks or months or even years later and then say, okay, God, I get it now. Yeah. You may not get it then. But it's like, okay, God, I get it now. And it was worth it.
For me, it was just I had to be still. Like when questions came up, especially coming into her position as her partner and her life partner, people just looked at me and said, like, who are you? And like, how are you going to, in a sense, like, even be up to the status of her late husband?
Yeah.
You know, like, how are you going to be a kid, a father to her kids?
Right.
And it was in from even in my own family that I was even asked, like, do you even want that? Mm. You know, and I'm just like.
Those are tough questions.
I'm like, and having to respond very, you know, proper. I was just like, absolutely, you know. For me, it was in the book of James when James was talking about you have to come everything in all joy. You know, and joy is an action of accepting that of what's good and bad, or trials mm-hmm. and tribulations that come your way, you accept it in all joy. Mm-hmm. Because when you do that, nothing could derail you from what is to come, because you know in your heart that God is going to direct you in all joy for it. You're going to be in a position to accept it all and to take it all. And that's where I put myself in a position. I stood still. And I was just like, God, you have me here for a reason. So let's make it happen.
I love that verse that talks about the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Mm-hmm. That's
which,
right.
That statement in and of itself is not super logical to mm-hmm. me. But I feel like the longer I've walked with the Lord, I'm like, joy is not, and you said it, Jason, it's not circumstantial.
That's right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, I know in fact right now, just in my spirit, I know there is somebody listening that's just hurting bad. You know, they're hurting bad.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in the moment where it hurts the worst,
mm-hmm.
sometimes that's all you can see. Like, you can't see tomorrow.
That's right.
You can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. Like, you just, it's hard to breathe. It's hard to put one foot in front of the other.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
What do you say to someone that's right now living in that?
Get ready for it's the season that you're in right now. You may be being pressured, but then understand that you're going to come out stronger than what you thought you would be, because it's going to show your character. And your character is going to shine, especially if you stay with the Lord in your heart. Mm-hmm. Because once you do, you're going to, basically like a diamond, you're going to shine through it.
Yeah.
Because you mm-hmm. just got to stay and trust the process. And you may not see a light, but understand that at those times, you're becoming the light.
Yeah.
So it's just stay still and understand where you're at and stay in the Lord.
You know, Christina, you said something about in the unknown is where the Lord really becomes known.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I've gone through nothing. I can't compare some to what this story, but I do know what it's like to feel like moments like, Lord, I thought I could do this, but I really needed you.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to have to call on you for mm-hmm. everything.
Absolutely.
Did you find yourself in the midst of that? Just
absolutely.
Saying, help.
There was tons of moments where I thought I was super mom, super woman, super pastor. And those were the moments that God had to humble me and say, all you need is me, honey. Because mm-hmm. you won't be able to get through it without me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's important for the Steve Noble Show listeners to know that you can get through it.
You can. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But mm-hmm. I don't think alone.
You cannot. No. That's where you can't. Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
And I think God's big enough for our hard questions.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Christina, you mentioned counseling. I think it's important to get to sit down with people who can handle the rawness of how we feel and what we're saying
mm-hmm.
and keep it in context
and
not judge us based on that and
that's
allow
right.
us just to uncork and go like, okay, here's what's mm-hmm. going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's a matter of calling out to the Lord. And I think it's also, I'm guessing, a matter of looking at people around you and saying, okay, I need you. I need to sit down. I need some people to walk through.
You need to seek
me.
Out that wise counsel. Yeah. That is so beneficial.
Yeah. And don't give up.
No, you can't.
You know, don't quit.
No. You got one more round in you. I promise you do.
Yeah, you're stronger than you think you
mm-hmm.
are. You're stronger than you think you are. And
that's right.
Mm-hmm. If there's listeners that are listening that you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he's so good. And he paid the price for my sin and Jason's sins and Christina's sin and the sins of the world because he loves us. And if you don't have the strength of Christ in your life,
mm-hmm.
I want to let you know that he paid the price for everything wrong you've ever done. And he paid the price for your purpose and for the plans for your life, for a future and a hope. And even when life knocks you down and it seems out of control, if you'll put your faith in Christ, lean on him.
Mm-hmm.
He will carry you through, even though, right, Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Jason and Christina, thank you so much. If folks want to hear more about your story,
sure,
or want to have you guys come speak somewhere, how could they do that?
So I have a blog site. It's called LionheartGlobalMinistry.com.
LionheartGlobalMinistry.com.
Mm-hmm. So they can reach out to me there. I have tons of blogs up there talk about my story.
Thank you so much.
Thank
God bless you guys.
Thanks
for being on the show today.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.